In 2007, the Labour government first used the term hostile environment when discussing policies regarding illegal migrant workers. In 2012, David Cameron's coalition government formed a ministerial team that became known as the Hostile Environment Working Group.
We would like to see net immigration in the tens of thousands rather than the hundreds of thousands.
The government will soon publish the Immigration Bill, which will make it easier to get rid of people with no right to be here.
This drama is inspired by the story of Anthony Bryan and others.
You put into Britain, you don't just take out. And if you put in, we will stand with you. That's how it is in this country, that's how it should be, and that is how it will be for anyone who wants to come here.
Who were invited to settle in the UK in the post-war era. Certain names and events have been changed. Sitting in limbo. Edmonton, North London, June 2016. Written by Stephen S. Thompson. A black family are having a gathering. A white friend sings along while the father of the family sips from a beer and dances. A woman carries food to a dining table, and the man changes the song. The woman turns to him with a huge smile, then they embrace and dance together.
I know you played this tune just for me, innit?
Of course, babes. You'll tune this.
Yeah, man.
Hey, thanks for this, yeah?
Yeah. Happy birthday, babes.
Everyone helps themselves to the table full of food.
What's up, man?
Happy birthday to you!
Happy birthday to you!
Happy birthday to you. How old you now?
You don't know?
Boy, me can't remember me own age. Never mind yours.
How's things? Did you see the doctor last week?
Yes, me dear. But them can't do nothing for me. Old age is old age.
Yeah, but you're taking the medication, right?
That's all we do. Take pills.
We're planning to come see you before the year's out.
Boy, shut your mouth. I've been back here 10 years. Every year you say the same thing.
I'm serious. I sent out for my passport application last week. Tell her, babes.
You should have seen him fussing over the photos, Mama Lou. Did you know your son was so vain?
Anthony leaves his house.
Good morning, Anthony.
Anthony gives his white neighbour a nod, then walks off. Now, Anthony picks up some bananas at an outdoor fruit market as a Home Office Immigration's enforcement van passes by. Next, elderly people are performing gentle exercises while Anthony's at the top of a ladder fixing a ceiling tile.
Arms all the way up, stretch up, up. And relax.
Anthony gives a friendly wave to a woman, then climbs down from the ladder. Now he's sitting with the woman at her desk.
I've got some bad news, I'm afraid.
What is it? What's happened?
I got a letter this morning from the Home Office, and according to them, you're not eligible to work in the UK.
What?
They're saying you're not a UK citizen.
This is a joke, right?
It says we have to let you go.
Stunned, he takes the document from her and reads it.
What the hell are they talking about? I worked in this country my whole life.
So sorry, Anthony, but we will have to let you go. We just can't risk the fine. It's just for now. Until you get everything sorted. You know, you're like family to us. We don't want to lose you.
Anthony just stares. Later, when he arrives home, he puts his backpack on the floor by the door and picks up a pile of letters. He searches through them, then takes one into the other room. Now he's reading the letter at the dining room table, looking despondent.
Anthony?
I'm here.
You all right? What's wrong?
I lost my job.
What?
Better understand it. I can't work. Can't use the NHS, can't claim benefits, and no explanation.
I don't get it. How can they say you aren't legal?
It's ridiculous, right?
You called them?
I've been calling all day. Been on hold, no answer, and now they're closed.
Right, we're going down there first thing tomorrow morning. I'm taking the day off. This has to be a mistake.
I'm worried, babes. I mean, if I can't work, then how are we going to make ends meet?
Start thinking about that now. It won't come to that. And if it does, we got a little something put down, remember?
Yeah, but that's supposed to pay for our flights to Jamaica.
Yeah, we'll sort it. I'm telling you, they've made a mistake.
She shakes her head as she stares at the letter.
Look, you don't need to come with me tomorrow.
No, I'm coming. I want to speak to these people.
Seriously, babes, it's all right. No need for you to take time off work. I got this, all right?
All right.
The next day, Anthony's standing in a huge queue outside Beckett House Immigration Reporting Centre. Going through security.
Yep, keys, mobile phones. Yep, any bits of metal, please, in that box.
Anthony's waiting to go through the metal detector. Once inside, he's standing in another queue, and an electronic counter changes to the number 90. A Sikh man's reading The Sun, and the front page reads, "Be leave in Britain."
Okay. Remove your hat and then look into the camera.
Can I ask why?
Look, it's a legal requirement. The sooner you comply, the sooner you'll be out of here. Thank you.
Anthony looks confused when the young man behind the screen hands him a card with his picture on it.
From now on, you report here once a fortnight.
Is that it?
Were you expecting something else?
I was hoping for an explanation.
Of?
Why I'm here.
All of that would have been explained to you in the letter we sent you.
Well, actually, it wasn't. Has this got anything to do with my passport application? I know we didn't have all the documents, but we sent a letter in with the form explaining that.
I say again, sir, we'll be in touch to explain everything.
Well, can you at least tell me when that might be?
I'm afraid not.
Anthony stares at the immigration officer. Later, Anthony knocks on the door of a flat in an estate. Now he's sitting in a living room while two girls play dominoes. His expression's a mixture of disbelief and worry.
Since you can't put it there.
Yes, I can.
You can't. You have to plug it in.
See?
Yes.
You see?
Yes,
You see?
Right, I'm off.
Ashley, what did I say about matching? This is a game of skill.
I'm not.
Yes, you are.
I'm not.
Are?
I'm not.
Wait.
Stop it, you two. Right, I'm going back about 6. Call me if you need anything and don't let these two give you the runaround. Right? Mwah.
We'll be all right. Right, let me show you how to finish a game. Mm-hmm. You ready? You sure?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Hey! Hey!
Wow.
Ivy.
Yeah?
I won the game.
What was this?
Get the girl something on your way up.
Oh, Dad, you don't have to do that.
I know I don't have to. They're my grandkids.
Yeah, but can you afford it, though? What with what's going on and, you know...
Ivy, take the money, please.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks.
She kisses his cheek and leaves. At the immigration centre.
Thank you very much. If you get into your pockets.
Anthony's going through security, then waiting in the queue inside again.
Anthony Bryan.
Confused, Anthony tentatively raises his hand and the man gestures for Anthony to follow him into an office. Anthony's sitting in front of the immigration officer, and there's a CCTV camera fixed on his anxious face.
Mr. Bryan, we've been looking into your file.
I have a file.
It says here that you came to the UK from Jamaica in 1965, aged 8, on your mother's passport. Is that correct?
Yes.
And you've been here ever since?
Yeah.
OK. We'll need to see your mother's original passport, your birth certificate, and any other supporting documents and photographs.
I'm sorry, I don't understand. Why do you need all that?
Your right to remain in the UK rests on it. I don't wish to alarm you, but this is a very serious matter.
You say you need photos?
Yes.
What sort of photos?
Family portraits and the like. That kind of pictorial evidence can be very persuasive.
But surely you have a record of me arriving.
It's up to you to provide evidence that supports your claim that you've lived here since 1965.
You know I haven't been able to work, right?
I know that. But I must remind you, Mr. Bryan, that it is illegal to take any kind of paid work.
I didn't say I was. Let's say I get all the stuff that you want. Will that be the end of it?
Very possibly. But I can't give you a definite assurance. I've got a full caseload this morning and I really need to get on. If you could get those documents to us as soon as you can.
The immigration officer has a tight-lipped smile. Later, Anthony's partner's sorting through documents at the dining table.
Remember this day, mister. No more teasing me about keeping all paperwork.
But why would you destroy school records every 10 years?
I'm just trying to get some information on tax returns.
I'd like to access my medical records. I've got my national insurance number.
No, we're not married. I'm calling on his behalf, excuse me? Like, he's not my boyfriend. We're not teenagers. See? Should have got down on one knee years ago. Wouldn't be in this mess.
He smiles.
You have reached HMRC. All of our lines are currently busy. Please wait while we try to connect you.
In another queue. Then later, a video call with his mum.
Me sure me have your birth certificate somewhere. But me can't remember when the last time I see the old passport.
I thought as much. But I beg you, mum, could you have a look for it? I could really do... Mum. Hello, mum. Mum, hello.
That's your great granny.
Yeah, 30 years in the NHS.
Yeah.
She's beautiful.
Just like her great granddaughter.
What are you doing up there so long?
Coming, Mum.
I don't get why they need all this stuff.
I mean, honestly, school records from the 70s.
Where'd you even start?
His old school.
Tried that.
And?
It's now a Tesco's.
I'm glad you lot think it's funny.
It is.
Well, it's a bit short, but yeah, I'm pleased with that.
Look at you though, Brownie.
I used to be a scout back in the day.
I didn't know that.
There's a lot you don't know about me.
That's probably a good thing.
Happy with Ash?
Yeah.
Yeah?
She looks stupid.
Oi, behave you. Right, go and take it off before you get it dirty.
Family photos.
Uncle Gary, look at your ears.
Leave him alone, he's got his dad's ears.
You had to bring that one out, didn't you?
All right, big ears.
Remember that? Us in Brighton.
At the immigration office.
Sorry, but there are still issues with your case which we need to consider.
I need more detail than that. What exactly are the issues?
I'm afraid I'm not able to
disclose that information, I know. Look. I know you're just doing your job, I get that. But from one human being to another, what is really going on here?
I can assure you there is no conspiracy here. We simply want to determine who has a right to remain and who doesn't. And while your case is being reviewed, you'll have to continue to report here once a fortnight.
Anthony's face is a picture of restrained frustration. Later, he walks up to a house and knocks on the door.
I'm really glad you decided to look up your old headmaster.
Well, it's a bit of a long shot, I won't lie.
a black and white photograph.
Unfortunately, I couldn't find any records, but as they say, a picture speaks a thousand words.
Jeez, is that me? And look at those two idiots.
Jones and Atkinson. You still friends with them?
You could say that.
Happy memories?
School itself wasn't too bad, you know. But getting there and back in the 70s as a black kid, that was no joke. Thanks for this. It's really gonna help.
Not a bit of it. It's the least I could do. I'm really sorry about all of this. It seems so unfair.
Anthony's partner, Janet, opens the door to two friends.
You all right, mate?
They put something in her hand.
What's this?
It's just a little something from us, all right? We know things are tight, so...
Guys, the best.
Yes, we know.
So, how's he doing?
You know, up and down. More down than up.
Is there any news from the Home Office?
Nothing.
Still? What kind of joke business these people running?
Don't get me started, B.
And what about you?
Me?
Yeah, you. How are you holding up?
He's inside.
Anthony, where you there?
Yes, Flower.
Come on, man.
You ready to smash some goodness?
Come on.
Janet's watching them with pain in her eyes.
No, Trevor, I'm not missing kickoff for you two. Come on, man.
You're going to make the guy
even
drink that stringy
lager. Come on, man, let's go. Come on, you Spurs.
See you later,
bud. Who's your sort of guy? Who? Mr. Arcastle.
They head out and Janet closes the door. Later, they're leaving the pub.
Maurizio Pochettino is magic!
Janet's sorting documents.
Graves!
Oh, you're in here.
Someone's in a good mood.
Yeah. They won. For once. Well, that's enough admin for one day. Let's go upstairs.
Someone's chest is high.
The morning light's shining in through the windows when Anthony slowly comes down the stairs wearing his dressing gown. He plods into the kitchen, rubbing his tired face with his hand. He switches on the kettle and grabs two mugs from a cabinet on the wall, then throws in some tea bags. Stretching, he picks up a frying pan and turns on the hob, his eyes still bleary from sleep. He's startled by the aggressive knock and makes his way to the front door. Janet comes down the stairs looking panicked.
What's going on?
Immigration, open up. Open the door right now.
What is this? What's going on?
Are you Anthony Bryan?
Yes, what's this about?
Anthony Bryan, I'm arresting you on suspicion of being an illegal resident.
Talking about
on behalf of the Home Office.
Madness.
Look, I don't know what's going on, but I'm in touch with the Home Office. Yep. I've been going to Beckett House.
And you can deal with that later. For now, you have to come with us.
Go away. He ain't got no clothes on.
Janet,
let him have
Janet.
Put some clothes
calm
on.
Calm down, madam.
What are you telling
You'll
me to
be
calm down?
Arrested for obstruction.
What do you mean you're going to arrest her? She hasn't done anything.
Right, okay, let's get one thing clear. We're not leaving here without you. Now, if you come quietly, I'll let you get some clothes on.
The hell?
Is that fair?
No, that's not fair.
She'll
Jesus,
go with you.
Unbelievable,
come on,
man.
Quickly, please.
Don't touch me.
This is ridiculous. 50 years I've been in this country. 50 years.
You can't do this to people.
So then you've been alive.
Quick
as you can, man.
Leave it.
Unbelievable.
This. Look.
Hurry up. Come on.
Our whole lives are in here. All of this. What is this? Is this rubbish now? Push up the door.
The man's getting dressed.
Ridiculous, man.
Coming in our home. This is
okay,
wrong.
Let's go.
Hold on a minute. Just wait. Just wait.
Don't worry.
Hold on, where's my...
Yes. All right, all right.
Anthony, wait. Let me get my coat.
It's all right.
Oh, Jesus.
Don't worry,
hold on a minute. Wait.
Put him in the back.
Please. No, no, no. Don't do this. Wait.
Watch it.
Where are you taking him?
To a detention centre.
Where?
I'm not at liberty to disclose that.
You need to tell me. You need to tell me right now.
Anthony's forced into the back of a car with the officers. He locks eyes with Janet through the window. She stares at him with a fearful expression. Then the car drives away and she runs out into the road in front of their house, wearing only her dressing gown. He gazes at her distressed figure through the back window. Moving through their house, from the kitchen and dining area, into the entrance hall, where the front door is still lying wide open. Now into the living room, where Janet's standing by the window, nervously kneading her thumbs into her hands, staring through the curtains. She looks broken and in utter shock. Her brow is furrowed and her eyes are full of fear. Anthony is sitting in a dark, claustrophobic space in the back of a white van that's driving along a road right beside the coast. He lowers his head, his expression anxious. The narrow windows are murky and he tries to peer out of them. The Verne Detention Centre, Dorset, 166 miles from London, 12th of September 2016. The van approaches an intimidating archway built into a stone wall and drives through. It pulls over in the car park inside. A man gets out of the front of the van, uses his keys to open a door on the side and climbs in. Anthony lifts his head at the noise and tries to look out of the window. The man unlocks two cells, letting out Anthony and another bewildered-looking man, who are then led away by an officer in uniform. Inside the detention centre, the officer unlocks a gate into a corridor, and Anthony and the other detainee follow him through. They both sit on a row of chairs by the gate while the officer locks them in. Another man in a uniform approaches them with two piles of grey clothing in his hands. The detainees take the clothes and the two officers leave. Anthony's breathless, his eyes are shifting nervously, and he wipes his brow with a handkerchief.
Are you all right? Do not look good, my friend.
Right. Before we do anything else, let me give you chapter and verse on how we do things here.
Why have you taken my phone?
Smartphones are not allowed in here.
Then how are we supposed to call our families? I need to let people know I'm here.
You'll be issued with a mobile with some credit on it. Now, please, let's just get through this.
Under the Human Rights Convention,
it is
my right to speak. I demand to speak.
Be quiet!
Anthony's companion stares in shock at the aggressive police officer behind the window, then his head drops in defeat. Anthony's eyes are wide. The anxious pair are led through a gated passageway outside. Then an officer gestures for them to stop while he opens up the bars to an entrance. Inside, there's a prison gallery with multiple levels, and rows of cell doors line the walls around the edge. There are people on the bottom floor. Anthony follows the officer around the narrow edge towards a cell. There's an elderly man on the bottom floor who's leaning on a pool table while looking up and watching. Anthony hesitates in front of the cell door, then slowly treads inside the small room. The walls are white and there are two single beds. Anthony puts his hand to his mouth as he takes in his confined surroundings. At Janet and Anthony's house in London, their friends and family are sitting silently with Janet in the living room. Their faces range from despair, to shock, to anger, to fear. Janet's grasping her phone and staring at the floor.
Hello?
It's me, babes.
Oh, thank God.
Gary lets out a sigh of relief and Janet closes her eyes.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here, babes. I just... Talk to me. What's happening? Where'd they take you in the end?
I'm in the middle of nowhere. A place called the Vern. In Dorset.
Dorset? What's going on? What did they tell you? How long are they going to keep you? When can we come and see you?
I'll find out more tomorrow, so they say anyhow. So I had to call and let you know that I'm all right.
What's it like, the place?
He looks down.
I hope you're not there by yourself.
No. Everyone's here.
Oh, good. Shout them for me, yeah?
Well, hold on. You can do that yourself. I'm going to put you on loudspeaker. Yeah, hold on a sec.
Hello, Granddad.
Hi, Dad. Hey,
Pops. Don't worry. You'll be back with us soon, man.
We love you.
Hang in there,
when
Pops.
When are you coming home?
Never been so glad to hear your voices.
Listen, I'll let you know more when I find out, all right?
All right, babes. I love you, yeah?
Yeah.
He's getting emotional and hangs up the phone. Janet shares a look with her family and Anthony's granddaughter looks sick with worry. Back in his cell, Anthony's perching on one of the beds. He drops the phone and rubs his forehead, then notices the elderly man coming in.
Thaddeus. But please, call me T. Anthony. Just bring you in today. About an hour ago. You? Been here 3 weeks now. Which is too long in a place like this. I'm sure they're getting ready to dip me.
Do what?
Deport me. Might happen any time now. You know, they have the cheek to offer me voluntary repatriation.
What's that?
You sign a piece of paper agreeing to go home. And they give you money to resettle. You can get up to $2,000, apparently. Can you imagine? Wouldn't even recognize the place now.
T taps Anthony's knee.
Just get some air.
Anthony helps him stand up. Outside in a gated yard.
I travelled up from Trinidad with my father. Teal it by trade. Mum came up a year or two later. Seamstress. You got family outside?
They should be here as soon as they can. You?
My wife passed a few years ago.
Sorry to hear that. Kids?
Never wanted any. No, it's just me and God in the world now.
T's frail body is bent over while he bounces a tennis ball on the ground. Anthony glances up at the huge, daunting wall with reels of barbed wire at the top, closing them in. A seagull soars above in the overcast sky. Nighttime, and the dark detention centre is lit with eerie wall lamps. In the bottom floor communal area, there's static on the TV. Janet's with Eileen and Gary, sitting across from Anthony in the visitors' area.
We need to get you home. I've got a meeting with Citizens Advice tomorrow.
Yeah, and we've got a meeting with our MP, so don't worry, we're on this.
Hats are not allowed in the visiting area.
Are you being serious?
It's the rules.
Oh, your birth certificate came this morning. Mama Lou still can't find her old passport, though.
He takes the certificate.
Never seen this.
Time's up.
What?
We just got here.
Please, ladies and gentlemen, time's up.
Really? That's a joke.
Anthony and Janet lock eyes and he squeezes her hand. As he stands, he pats Gary's leg and holds Eileen's hand.
Love you.
They stare at him.
Be strong, Pops.
He leaves.
He looks terrible.
You can't just leave him in here. This can't be legal. You've got to get a solicitor or something.
You know how much those people charge?
Eileen shakes her head in despair. Anthony's approaching a gathering by the cells.
Situation's under control. Don't come up to it. I want to see if it's okay.
An officer's holding his hands up to the group who are trying to see inside a cell.
This place does things to you.
Anthony peers into the cell and sees two paramedics attending to the wrists of a person who's on the floor. He shakes his head and keeps walking along the corridor, glancing back at the commotion, but continuing to head through some gates that separate the areas and into his cell. In shock, he sits down on his bed and takes off his hat. He lies back and rubs his face with his hands, then stares up at the ceiling. T shuffles into the cell and takes a seat on the bed beside him. Anthony closes his eyes and T looks down at him with concern.
You right, Tom?
Refusing to meet his gaze, Anthony turns onto his side and faces the wall, a blank expression on his face. T picks up the dirty tennis ball that's sitting on the minimal shelf on the wall between the beds, holds it for a moment, then starts to bounce it on the floor. Anthony turns sharply to glare at the old man, then his face softens. Shortly after, Anthony and T are playing pool in the communal area while a guard stands nearby. T's edging his way around the table while Anthony takes his shot.
You're trying to put me off? Don't bother. It's not going to work. You're going to be beaten.
Boosting and big man talk. I expect nothing less from a Jamaican.
And I expect nothing less from a Smile Island.
Damn cheeky. Oh, no. Show me something more then. We're going to know.
Could Anthony Bryan please report to the supervisor's office? Repeat. Could Anthony Bryan please report to the supervisor's office?
Anthony's expression turns serious and he shares a look with T as he hands over his pool cue. With his hands in his pockets, Anthony crosses the communal area and the uniformed guard is close on his heels. In the supervisor's office...
Can you give me the specific years?
I've been asked this already.
Not by me. So I ask again. What years did you attend school in the UK?
Between 65 and 72.
Claim to have lived in London since arriving in the UK, is that right?
Yes.
Never lived anywhere else?
No.
Have you ever been in trouble with the police?
What? No.
You sure? Not even for something minor?
I have never been in trouble with the police. Why are you asking me all these questions?
We could end this right now if you want.
Yeah, I'd like that.
We're offering a service for people in your situation. It's for voluntary repatriation.
Not interested.
Don't you want to hear about it, at least?
No.
Suit yourself. So, your children, Gary and Eileen, would you be willing to take a paternity test to prove you're their father?
Anthony shoots the supervisor a dark look, and the supervisor lowers his gaze back to the documents in front of him. After the interrogation, Anthony's walking back along the platform to his cell. As he's about to turn in, he notices T's bed has been stripped.
Yo, where's T?
We don't know. It took him about half an hour ago. He's probably on his way to Camsfield by now. That is where they take you before they put you on a flight.
Anthony slams his fist on a shelf in his cell. Two and a half weeks later, Anthony's watching Donald Trump on TV with some other detainees.
See, what I have is a winning temperament. I have a winning temperament. Hillary is an unstable person. She is an I think she's probably spent $500 million on phony ads. Best thing I have is my temperament. We know how to win. We know how to win.
Could Anthony Bryan please report to the supervisor's office?
Anthony links eyes with the man he was detained with.
Get out there. No matter how you feel, if you are so sick, if your doctor gives you the worst prognosis...
Anthony's led into the office where the supervisor's playing miniature golf.
Please, let's just get this over with, yeah?
Sorry?
Say what you've got to say.
You're being released today.
Released?
Today.
You're letting me go.
Would you rather stay?
Just like that, no apologies, no explanation, no nothing.
A document to sign.
It's all very routine, I can assure you. It's just confirmation of your release, something for our records.
Anthony picks up the pen and signs the form.
You have the mobile we gave you when you got here? I need it back, please.
He hands it over and the supervisor puts it in an evidence bag.
Right. Please accompany Mr. Bryan to reception.
Anthony stands.
How am I supposed to get home? I've got no money.
We'll arrange for a taxi to take you to Weymouth Station. There'll be a ticket there waiting for you.
Anthony takes this in, then turns and heads to the door.
Good luck.
Anthony gives him a look and walks out. An officer follows him. Now the sunlight shining through the tunnel leading out of the detention centre, and Anthony unsteadily makes his way along it to the road. His face is a picture of disbelief. He emerges from the intimidating archway, which is sitting at the top of a cliff by the shore. There's a taxi waiting. He takes a moment to look out to the sea, his expression solemn and incredulous. His brow is furrowed and he has heavy bags under his eyes from exhaustion. Once he's in the taxi, it drives off away from the secluded entrance to the detention centre and along a road beside the coast. Anthony's staring out of the window at the sea, still in shock. Later, he's slowly stomping down the stairs outside the train station with a clear plastic bag of his belongings clasped in his hand. As he's walking along the path towards his house, he speeds up to a jog and hurriedly turns through his gate just as Janet opens the front door. Anthony's eyes are wide and desperate as he approaches Janet in the doorway. She grabs him, pulls him into a tight hug, then supports him as he stumbles inside. That night, she's gazing down at him with worry in her eyes while gently rubbing his shoulder as he's lying with his head in her lap. He closes his eyes. Later on, he's sitting with Janet and Eileen at the dining room table. There's plates of food and glasses of wine in front of them.
You all right?
Yeah. Just a bit on edge, you know?
Yeah. It's natural.
Yeah, of course, you just need to adjust.
There was this guy in there. Nice old guy.
Thaddeus. I sent him back. Sometimes I would lay there at night, listening, wondering who they were going to take next.
Janet shares a pained look with her daughter.
That's Trevor and Barrington.
Yeah, they called. They mentioned Fat Man's, but I didn't know if he was up for that just yet.
Of course. I'll call him.
She tries to smile. A video call with his mum.
You look maga. Them never feed you in there.
You don't want to know, Mum, trust me.
Don't be foolish, boy. I would never ask if I didn't want to find out. So what happened now?
I'll find out more soon, Mum.
I don't understand how them lock you up so. Like you're a criminal.
Listen, it is what it is. I'm out now.
After all me go through in England, this is how them treat my son.
Calm now. Don't get upset in yourself. It ain't worth it, Mum. I'll get this thing sorted and be out there before you know it.
All right. Are you ready?
Don't I look ready?
You wearing up?
What?
He changes his hat.
Yes.
Yes, that's better.
Where's Gary?
He's meeting us there. Can we go now, please?
Come now.
In a dark club. Trevor, Barrington and Gary are happily dancing while Anthony stands and stares into the distance. Anthony walks off the dance floor and stands by the wall with a drink. The club's full of people laughing and grooving to the music. As he observes couples swaying to the beat, Anthony's face hardens and he takes a swig from his bottle. Gary stops bopping when he notices his dad leaving at the other side of the club. Concern washes over Gary's face, and he hurries after him. Gary quickly makes his way down a flight of stairs and leaves the West Indian Cultural Centre. He spots his dad leaning against a wall nearby and joins him.
All right, Pops?
Yeah, yeah. Just needed some air, you know?
Gary looks thoughtful.
Listen. You know you can talk to me, right?
Anthony pauses, then nods.
Yeah. Anna.
He squeezes his son's shoulder affectionately.
Boy's called out here. Come, let's go in.
The TV's on at home, and Janet's reviewing documents.
System. Yep. The Arabic name of a Middle Eastern capital city is thought to be of pre-Semitic origin, which suggests that its beginnings go back in time.
She tucks the papers away behind her when Anthony comes through the door.
Why are you back so early?
He hangs his coat over the banister and throws his hat to the side.
I was just about to call my side man.
He joins her on the sofa.
Can still call him.
She laughs gently and he rests his head on her shoulder.
You all right?
Yeah, yeah.
The first Harry Potter novel published in 1997 is entitled Harry Potter and the
Philosopher's Stone.
Philosopher's Stone.
Later, they're both sleeping in bed. Janet's peaceful, but Anthony's jerking and twitching in his sleep, looking like he's in distress. He bolts upright at the sound of banging. Eyes wide, he swings his legs out of bed and hesitantly creeps down the stairs towards the front door. He throws the door open, but there's no one there. Looking panicked, he stumbles out into the street.
Okay, let's get one thing clear. We're not leaving here without.
He lurches out into the road and freezes, his face distorted in fear and his breathing laboured. Then Janet appears at his side.
It's all right. Come. Come inside. It's all right.
Ken, not around.
Your case has been passed on to me, Mr. Bryan. Having reviewed everything, the decision has been taken that additional documentation is required.
I've given you everything I have.
Well, we have to be fully satisfied that your claims to citizenship are legitimate. Now, according to this, you've sent in some photographs, your birth certificate, and your medical records. Is that correct?
Yes.
You've also provided some testimonial letters from your partner, your alleged children, and from a man you claim is your old headmaster. Is that all correct?
Yes.
Good. All that is very useful. But what would be really helpful is if we could see your passport, the one you travelled here on.
It's lost. I told Ken that a year ago.
Look, why don't you just admit that you don't want me here? We both know it's all an excuse to get me out of the country.
Mr. Bryan, I don't know you. I've only recently become familiar with your case. I have nothing personal against you. I'm simply doing my job.
And it doesn't bother you that your job ruins people's lives, hmm?
If you're claiming that the passport is lost, then we are definitely going to need more documentary evidence.
You mean like bank statements, council tax records, utility bills, tenancy agreements, stuff like that?
Yes, all that would be good.
I sent them in already. They should be there in the file.
Later, at home.
It doesn't matter what I give them, it's never enough. They say one thing now, next minute it's something else. I don't even know where I stand. Asking me about Mum's passport again.
Janet gazes up at him with despair.
They locked me up. They don't believe a word I say. They decided I'm a liar. They want me to be a liar.
Come and sit down.
They're even trying to say that my kids are not even mine. It's like I'm having to beg to stay in my own country. And I'm sick of it.
Janet nods sympathetically. Anthony catches his reflection in the mirror.
I mean, Jesus Christ, we're not even able to pay the rent at our age. It's only a matter of time before they kick us out of this place, then what?
You know Eileen will take us in.
I'm not going to be a burden on Eileen and the kids, Janet.
Oh, come on, babes. You know they wouldn't mind.
I know. But I do. I mind.
Anthony faces away, his frustration palpable. He gathers himself and turns back to his partner, sitting beside her at the dining room table. He reaches out and grasps her hand, then slams his other elbow on the table and lowers his head. With her brow furrowed in distress, Janet glances down at their entwined fingers and she gently strokes the back of his hand with her thumb. Later, Anthony's washing the dishes while Janet dries them and Eileen arrives carrying bags full of shopping.
Yeah, that's where I like to see a man. Change the kitchen sink.
Oh, thanks for this suit.
No, I'm happy to do it.
I really appreciate it, don't we, babes?
We'll pay you back.
Well, don't be silly. It's not like I'm spending fortunes. Got my staff discount, remember?
I said we'll pay you back.
Janet shoots Eileen a serious look. Shortly after, the pair are sitting together.
Why didn't you say something?
Janet shakes her head meekly.
Scary, no? We only found out yesterday.
I had no idea it was that bad. So how much do you owe?
Janet covers her mouth and squeezes her eyes shut, overcome with emotion. Eileen takes her hand.
It's okay, Mum. You can stay with us as long as you need.
A wall is covered in framed family photographs of all shapes and sizes from throughout the years. Anthony plods heavily down the stairs while carrying a vacuum cleaner, his expression blank. He keeps one hand in his pocket while he runs the vacuum over a rug in the dining room. Now he's wiping a long mirror on the wall with a cloth. When he's finished, he throws the cloth down and takes a seat in between a cabinet full of drinks glasses and a music player with two large speakers. He sinks back in his chair and takes off his hat, placing it on his knee. He holds his face in his hands, then he sinks deeper in his chair and stares up at the ceiling looking tortured. He closes his eyes and lets out a breath, but his lips start to quiver uncontrollably. His eyes are open again and they're full of tears. Janet's standing in the back of a van that's full of all their furniture and possessions. Looking wistful, she's staring down at a photograph of a young child holding a baby and smiling. Barrington and Gary lift more of the belongings from the house into the van.
You right, Mum?
Yeah, I'm all right. Pass me that chair, please. Nice.
Anthony comes out.
Get some water for your mum, Gary. Right, you. You're taking a break. Come down from there. Come on.
He helps her down, then Barrington and Gary return.
Where's the water?
I had to help this old man over here.
Is that everything?
Yep.
Yeah. Let's do a final check.
Don't you trust me?
She pulls her face, then turns and heads back inside. Anthony's standing in the back of the van, while Barrington and Gary hand him the rest of his things. The house is empty. Janet's standing in the living room with her hands in her jacket pockets. There's marks on the pink wall above the fireplace where the family photos were hanging for so long. She gazes up at them, starts to get emotional. Anthony's striding back inside and he stops when he sees her in the bare living room. A sorrowful sigh escapes him and he gazes around the entrance hall. Then he turns and shuffles back outside with his head hanging low. Janet's still staring at the wall. At Eileen's. Janet and Anthony are sitting on a single bed in a small, feminine room.
Cozy, isn't it?
Remember, this is only temporary.
Seriously, though, where are you putting your clothes? Because this wardrobe is all mine.
Hurry up!
Okay. Yeah. Nice. Good left foot.
He dribbles the football around his granddaughters, but they steal it back. He's smiling happily. Back in the queue outside the immigration centre in London, time passes, then he's waiting in another line inside. G's Barber is a small red and white shop with photographs and plants in the window. Anthony peers inside and watches the barbers and their customers laughing and chatting together.
How long have I been doing you?
How long?
What do you mean?
Anthony lowers his head and walks on. At Eileen's, Janet's sitting at the table in the kitchen with her daughter. They're both cradling mugs in their hands and looking uneasy.
Where have you been, Dad?
Why?
Why is your phone switched off?
What? Oh, the battery's dead.
We thought they'd taken you again.
Sorry. I didn't mean to worry you. I just need some space, you know?
I swear, I thought... You should have told me, Anthony. Is that too much to ask?
You're right, babes. I'm sorry.
A new day.
Come on, girls, hurry up!
Hello, Miss Ed. I'm looking at the toilet.
What is it, Karen?
Okay, I'm really pressed now.
Hurry up! We need to go now. Come on!
Hurry up, Grandad. I really need to go.
Leave your Grandad alone.
Be out in a sec.
He's standing in front of the mirror in the bathroom.
Okay,
in the kitchen, when Janet reaches around Anthony to turn on the kettle, he drops his mug.
Hey! Leave it! Just leave it!
What the hell's got into you?
What are you talking about?
I know you're upset, but there's no need to take it out on me.
Please, I beg you, just leave me alone.
So selfish at times.
What's that supposed to mean?
This isn't just about you, you know, Anthony.
Did I say that? Don't put words in my mouth, Janet, man.
We're all suffering, all of us. You're not the only one. I know it's going to be tight, but I think we should speak to a solicitor.
Jesus Christ, how many more times? We can't afford a solicitor.
You know what, Anthony? It's your attitude.
Their granddaughter's by the door.
You're right, Cease. You need something.
Come here.
He hugs her and kisses her head while Janet puts a comforting hand on her back. Later, Anthony's waiting in the queue to go through security at the immigration centre. When it's his turn, he puts his coat and his hat in a tray and pushes it along the conveyor rollers with bitterness in his eyes. Now he's alone and sitting back in the office, looking irritated and weary.
Oh, it's you.
The female immigration officer.
I beg you, don't tell me you need more stuff.
The Home Office have ordered that you be detained again, pending further inquiries. Immigration will be arriving shortly to escort you to a detention centre.
His eyes are wide and fearful.
Would you like a few minutes alone to call someone?
He looks up to the ceiling, then closes his eyes. It's nighttime and a van arrives outside. An aeroplane flies low above a tower block. Campsfield House Immigration Centre, Oxford Airport, 13th of November 2017. Anthony's led into the reception, passing a man who's holding his head in his hands.
Confirm your name for me, please.
Andy Bry.
Anthony's lying on a bed in a dark room. There's a desk beside him with a few basic things on it. He sits up, concerned with the commotion he can hear in the detention centre. Then he looks towards the window as a plane flies overhead. Janet's in the queue at the immigration centre in London.
Fine. If you have any problems, just call the number at the bottom of the phone. Thanks.
Thank
Before you ask, I don't have an appointment, but I'm not leaving here till I see someone. So call security, call police, do whatever the hell you want. I'm not leaving.
Janet's holding a huge file to her chest and staring down at the young man behind the screen. Looking shocked, he dials a number on his phone.
There's nothing we can do once the decision's been taken.
Don't tell me that.
There's no need to shout.
I wasn't shouting. Why are you doing this to us? We've played fair. We gave you what you asked for. Look, see? This is his birth certificate. This, taken when he was just a kid. And this one, Hackney, 1989. All this is medical records, since he was a teenager.
I'm sorry, but there's really nothing we can do once the decision has been made.
So that's it? We just have to accept this. Well, I won't. I won't accept this.
Janet angrily gathers up her things and tries to open the door. She looks over her shoulder with malice, and the woman presses a button to release the lock, then Janet storms out. She pauses in the corridor as she's leaving, then gets out her phone and makes a call. At the detention centre.
Went to see a solicitor. Just for a chat.
What'd they say?
It wasn't a long chat. They charged by the hour. But basically, they're saying our only option is to go to court. We're not done yet.
I'm not sure I can do this anymore,
no,
babe.
No. Can't start talking like that.
What am I fighting for? What's the point? They made it clear they don't want me here. Maybe I should
But listen to me. This is your country. Yeah? You belong here. With me. With your children. They're not forcing you out. I won't let them. The only way they can do that is over my dead body.
Anthony's taking a shower. His head and forearms are resting against the tiled wall, and he's wearing slip-on shoes. There's a dark staircase leading down to the reception in the detention centre. Anthony's sitting on a chair by a wall, watching two men play pool. An officer strides over to him.
Come with me, please, Mr. Brown.
Anthony stands and follows the uniformed man passing the game of pool. He's led down another dark staircase where an officer is sitting at a desk and reading a file. The officer gestures for him to come in, and he sits across from him at a table.
Please take a seat.
Anthony sits and waits.
Having failed to prove your British citizenship, it is my duty to inform you that your application for UK passport has been denied. As a result,
what do you mean, denied?
As a result of your application being denied, a deportation order has been issued against you. The deportation order will be executed within 72 hours. An immigration officer will escort you on the flight to Jamaica. You'll receive an allowance of 20 kilograms for your luggage. On arrival in Jamaica, you'll receive the sum of £1,000 to help you resettle.
At Eileen's, Janet's crouching on the floor in a ball on the landing, holding herself as she sobs. Daytime at Gary's construction job site. He hands his mum some money.
Ain't much.
It's something.
How much do you need altogether?
£1,500.
£1,500? For what?
It's for the injunction against the deportation. I gotta go.
Wait. How's he doing?
You really need me to answer that? Call him.
I just don't know what I'll say to him.
Oh, come here, son.
She hugs him.
I gotta go. I'll see you later.
At the detention centre, Anthony's sitting in his dark room while wearing his coat and hat. He glances around anxiously, then stands up and peers out of the window in the door. He sees two officers at the reception. He paces across the room and raises his eyes upwards. Then he turns and marches back to the door, peering out at the guards again. He slumps back against the wall. Eileen's sitting in her living room and counting a handful of £20 notes.
How much you got?
500. There's 200 for me and 300 for Barry and Dee.
Oh, I swear those two. I need to call them. Oh, thanks, sweet.
So how short are we?
200.
Well, couldn't we sell a few of Dad's records?
Eileen hurries to answer the door.
Oh.
Is Mum here?
Yeah, she's...
Mum.
Where'd you get all this from?
Always had a whip round.
You asked your workmates for money?
No, not exactly. I was telling them about Pups. I didn't even get to finish. Even my supervisor chipped in.
We're good now.
In court...
Mr. Bryan has lived and worked in this country for over 50 years, my lord. His mother worked for the NHS for more than 30. In addition, all his family, some of whom are in court today, are all British by birth, as are his grandchildren. This is home. To forcibly remove him from it would be a clear contravention of his human rights and a travesty of justice. For this reason, we are seeking an indefinite injunction against the deportation order.
Having listened carefully to the presentation made by Learned Counsel, it would appear, once again, as if the Home Office is playing fast and loose with its interpretation of immigration law. I am sufficiently satisfied that a compelling case has been made to order indefinite relief against the deportation order.
Eileen and Gary turn to their mum and they share a look of shocked relief and happiness. When they're leaving, they spot their solicitor. Janet grabs the woman's hand, beaming.
I wouldn't start celebrating just yet. He could still be deported.
What?
How come?
You mean they're not releasing him?
The Home Office may well appeal today's decision, and in the meantime, he'll be kept in detention.
Right, this is seriously messed up.
Well, is there anything more you can do for us?
To be honest, I'm not sure I can stop this. You could try your MP.
We've tried her. She's doing what she can.
We need to chase someone.
Listen, let me make this very clear. Deportation is still a very distinct possibility. You cannot take your eye off the ball. I have to go. Good luck.
I need to call your dad. He must be climbing the walls.
Just wish they were letting him out.
Well, he's still in the country, so that's all that matters right now.
They leave the courthouse. Gary's putting up a free Anthony poster in G's barbershop.
Thanks, Marcus.
This is my dad, Anthony Bryan. He's a British citizen.
The government's trying to support my dad, so please help if you can. Can I give you this? Thanks. Cheers. Thank you.
Sorry to interrupt, guys. This is my dad. He's lived here his whole life. He's trying to stop the government.
Eileen holds the pile of flyers with her dad's face on them close to her chest, and Gary pins a poster on a notice board.
I'm picking up more posters tomorrow, and Eileen started a petition. She's got a lot of signatures already.
And people been calling in.
There are others out there. It's not just you they've done this to.
So everybody knows my business now.
The point is we're getting people talking. It's a good thing.
Listen, you won't want to hear this. But maybe we should start prepping ourselves.
Please, don't even go there. It's not going to happen.
No, no, they wouldn't dare. Not after what the court said. We just got to keep pushing till they let you out.
All I'm saying, if worse comes to worse...
Eleni, please. I told you, no defeatist talk, remember?
I'm not being defeatist. There's no point in pretending.
Mum's right. You got to hang in there, Pops. You're getting the word out. They can't keep you in there much longer. Even the judge criticised them.
Anthony reaches across the table and squeezes his son's shoulder. Then he clasps his hands in front of him and stares into the distance, a look of fear and defeat across his face. Later, he's lying on his bed in the detention centre, still wearing his coat and his hat. His tired eyes flicker from side to side in the dark. Janet's reading the front page of a newspaper.
Woman nearly deported after 50 years in UK wins visa.
It's the exact same story as Dad's. This will help us, won't it? I've called the journalist. She's going to look into Dad's case.
Gary looks hopeful while Eileen reads the story. At the detention centre...
Please check over your belongings. If you're satisfied that all the items are present and correct, sign and date the form.
Where are you taking me? I need to let my family know.
We're not taking you anywhere. You're being released.
You're releasing me?
You don't seem very pleased.
Pleased? I shouldn't be here in the first place.
And yet, here you are.
Anthony stares at him darkly.
Well, if you don't mind.
The officer stares condescendingly back at Anthony. Anthony waits a moment, then picks up the pen and signs the form. He snatches the plastic bag containing his things from the desk in front of him and storms out. He stops in his tracks when he exits the main door, seeing his family standing before him. He looks stunned. He slowly steps towards them and Janet cuddles into his chest, her face overwhelmed with emotion. Eileen and Gary put their arms around their parents. Later, all four of them are sitting in Eileen's living room and Anthony's reading the newspaper.
See how devious these people are. Papers start nosing around. Surprise, surprise, they start releasing people.
She has been in touch, you know.
Who? Journalist, meet a gentleman.
She wants to interview you.
Think you should do it, Pops.
Seriously though, Dad, you should speak to the journalist. It makes sense.
I don't know.
What is there to think about? This is your chance to stick it to these people.
Don't.
29th of November, 2017. With the journalist.
I know this has been such a difficult time for you, Anthony. I want you to know how much I appreciate you talking to me like this.
Well, that's down to my son, really. He was like a dog with a bone when he read your article.
Yes, I've had a few calls since it came out. Seems there might be lots of people who've had similar experiences to you and Paulette.
Yeah, see, I thought it was only happening to me at first.
I have a feeling this might be bigger than we know, which is why I want to ask you again. Are you sure you're ready for your story to come out?
I've been asked a lot of questions by a lot of people over the last 2.5, 3 years. None of them believe me. This is quite nice that you're not calling me a liar this time. So yeah, I want everyone to hear it, the truth.
Later, he's sitting on a bench reading a newspaper.
The Guardian reports that Anthony Bryan, who has lived in Britain since he was a child, was wrongly targeted by the Home Office as an illegal immigrant.
Servicemen, nurses, teachers invited to rebuild Britain after the war were denied basic rights, such as healthcare, pensions, and passports.
After weeks of intensifying pressure to intervene, the government has now apologised and set up a dedicated team. But an urgent question by Labour MP David Lammy in the Commons earlier revealed his outrage at the way people have been treated.
Yep. Can she tell the House how many have been detained as prisoners in their own country? Can she tell the House how many have been denied health under the National Health Service? How many have denied pensions? How many have lost their job? This is a day of national shame, and it has come about because of a hostile environment policy that was begun under her Prime Minister.
Good evening. The Home Secretary has spoken of her bitter regret at failing to grasp the scale of the problem involving the status of Caribbean migrants in the UK. Amber Rudd and her predecessor as Home Secretary, Theresa May, are under intense pressure after it emerged that long-term residents who came here in the decades after the Second World War were being challenged despite living here legally.
The government, Whitehall, thought that this was a group of people who really didn't matter.
But how did the Windrush scandal slip the government's notice? Her department is taking most of the strain.
I bitterly, deeply regret that I didn't see it as more than individual cases that had gone wrong that needed addressing. I didn't see it as a systemic issue until very recently.
But what about how immigration officers behaved? Were they looking for easy targets? The chair had been told
that local managers under pressure to meet those targets would instruct staff to go looking for the easiest targets, in inverted commas, the low-hanging fruit. What do you say to that?
I think that's extraordinary language to use. Who would refer to anybody as a low-hanging fruit?
Thousands of people will be offered UK citizenship free under emergency measures as the government attempts to tackle the Windrush scandal.
Well, we're joined now by Anthony Bryan.
Anthony, let me ask you, what does it mean to you?
He looks nervous. But that's normal, right?
It means everything to me at the moment, because right now I'm stateless. I thought Britain was my country, but when you're told it's not, it's very upsetting.
But when you were sitting in that detention centre, twice, like a criminal.
And you do feel like a criminal in there. I tell you, it was hard. It's been the worst experience of my life. I just don't know how it happened. I spent 3 years without income. If it hadn't been for my partner, Janet, and the children, I'd be destitute by now.
Good dad.
The Home Office are watching this. We've asked them on the programme every day for the last 2 weeks with this scandal. They don't want to know, right? Amber Rudd doesn't want to know. Ministers don't want to know. Nobody wants to come on and talk about this and defend what they've done. We know why. They're cowards. Get this man his passport today. He's British. Get him on a plane so he can see his ailing mother that you have stopped him seeing for 2 years.
You're right. Yeah.
In the last hour, Downing Street has confirmed that Amber Rudd has resigned. The Home Secretary was due to make a statement in Parliament tomorrow.
And turn that up, Curtis, ma'am.
Pressure to quit over the Windrush scandal. She's faced intense criticism over the existence of Home Office removal targets and her knowledge of them. While Ian Watson joins us now.
Must be nice to see her fall on her sword, though.
They've been trying to avoid this government for
She'll be
days.
Back.
What was
I don't know why they're
the
focusing on her anyway. Theresa May's the one they really want.
If you like, the first.
After his haircut at G's, he's at Eileen's house, helping Janet put on a blazer, then her coat.
Are you ready to do this?
As ready as I'll ever be. I love you.
She looks pleased.
Yeah, yeah.
Joint Committee on Human Rights, May 2018.
Next, we will hear from Baroness Doreen Lawrence.
Did the Home Office ever explain to you why they felt you're an illegal immigrant?
No. They just kept saying you have no right to remain. You need to send us more documentation, and that was it.
Do you think you would have been treated more sympathetically if you were from, say, Canada, New Zealand, or Australia?
I hate to say it, but yeah.
Why is that? Because of the colour of your skin? This is probably hard for you to put into words, but what's been the cost to you of all this?
What was the cost? Well, basically, I lost everything. I lost my job. I lost my home. I lost my freedom. I lost my identity. Thanks.
At Eileen's, he takes a letter from the postman and closes the door. When he opens the envelope, there's a British passport inside.
I'm interested in this notion of identity. Could you say a bit more about that?
He opens up the passport and looks at his picture.
Well, put it this way. They tried to get rid of me and couldn't. And that proves to me more than ever that I'm British.
The committee members nod supportively. Then Anthony turns proudly to Janet beside him. Later, Janet's dancing while carrying a plate of food and a glass of wine into Eileen's living room. Gary hands Barrington and Trevor some beers.
Man, come here and watch both. My kids come to dinner. Did you play it?
You play it, isn't it? Shall we get it?
I'll get it.
Anthony and Janet are beaming while they groove together in a tight embrace in the middle of the room. He's wearing a bright orange fedora hat and a colourful jumper. Eileen spins her girls under her arms while Trevor carries two huge plates of food across the room. Gary gets up and starts dancing to the rhythm too. In the back garden, Anthony's got his arms wrapped around Janet's waist as she gazes happily at the sky. He shows her his passport. She turns it over in her hands, in awe, then opens it up and checks the inside. She looks overwhelmed with relief.
Time to check flights to Jamaica, I reckon.
Can you imagine how excited Mama Lou's going to be?
Can we tell her?
Ugh.
Been thinking as well that Jamaica would be a great place to honeymoon.
Oh, I see. Trying to play me. I done told you what you need to do.
Oh, please, I'm not going down on one knee.
Suit yourself. But don't take too long. My side man's been pestering me lately.
Yes.
She shows everyone the passport. Still outside, Anthony gazes in at his family and friends, a content expression coming over his features. He sees Janet laughing inside and he breaks into a smile as he heads back into the living room to join them all.
This year marks 70 years since some of the first arrived in the UK aboard the Empire Windrush. The London Evening Standard carried a photograph of the Windrush steaming past the white cliffs of Dover. Above it was the headline, Welcome Home. The fact that Britain has always been their home makes the treatment which some members of the Windrush generation experienced in recent years so very wrong. It should never have happened, and we are putting it right.
In April 2018, it was revealed that in 2010, the Home Office destroyed the landing cards of thousands of Windrush immigrants. Later that year, the Home Office admitted that they were responsible for wrongfully detaining at least 850 people between 2012 and 2017. In 2019, 83 members of the Windrush generation were confirmed to have been deported despite having the right to live in the UK. At least 13 of these people died before the Home Office acknowledged the mistake. The Home Office revealed in 2020 that there had been 1,275 applications to the Windrush Compensation Scheme. Only 60 had received any compensation. In June 2020, Anthony received an offer of compensation for only unlawful detention. In 2018, Anthony visited his mother in Jamaica.
Sitting here in limbo, but I know it won't be long. Sitting here.